gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
First, I was a Catholic girl. Loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning. While Mary looked up yearning, I got confirmed and I confessed. I really felt that I was blessed. Plus, I loved my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo. Oh, letting go, oh God. Letting go, oh God.
And welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. My name is Doubter 5, Larry Rhodes, and this is WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Glad you could join us. The Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, or in the Bible Belt for that matter, well, you're not alone. That's right. There are several atheist and rationalist groups that exist here in Knox Patch, and we'll tell you how you can connect with them later on in the show. Also, did you know that there's an atheist call-in television show broadcasting here in Knoxville? Did you know that, Wombat?
Bottom line, I love Miss Doubtfire. I think it's the best, one of the best movies Robin Williams ever did. Yeah, absolutely. Big fan of the show.
I don't think you're seeing the show I'm talking about. The one I'm talking about is just a one-hour show. It's on every Tuesday from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, and it's called Free Thought Forum. And I'll tell you a little bit later on exactly which channel and how you can get to it, and maybe even interact, because it is a call-in atheist television show, and we've been doing it here in Knoxville for over 7 years. Anyway.
7 years! Right.
And in spite of what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs out there, and you'll be hearing some of them right here on this program, and generally on this station, as they are in rotation. Now, what's our topic tonight, there, Wombat?
How dare you just lay that all on my plate?
Well, because you brung it. I have high hopes and high faith in you.
Hey, you are the host of this show. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna let you host a little. But I can tell you right now, it's a great topic that could help to bring up. But it's a two person job, and I want to, what I'm doing right now is making an offering, right?
Mm-hmm.
I did a little project. I did some homework last week. Last week we were talking about something called speed epistemology,
right,
which was kind of like this cool way to talk to people about deeply held beliefs in a way that doesn't turn a conversation into an argument,
mm-hmm,
or a debate,
right,
or make people very defensive. It's just a good way to allow people to examine what they believe to be true and why they believe that to be the case.
Okay.
And it's not supposed to be accusatory, it's not a trap, but it's a great way that atheists can use to talk to people who do have beliefs and have people who may have these beliefs that are, you know, not necessarily based on the most strong fundamental principles, examine that, may perhaps even realize that,
mm-hmm,
and maybe you would come to a different conclusion.
Yeah. How is this different from, like, evangelizing, like what Christians do and Muslims?
So I think what the issue is with evangelism, the goal of evangelism is to push narrative.
Mm-hmm.
To push a religious belief. I want you to believe what I want. Well, I want you to believe what I want, or I want you to believe this specific thing. The cool thing about street epistemology is there's no aim in that. I'm not trying to make the person I'm speaking to become an atheist. In fact, if they become even more confident in their beliefs, or discover something to be true about the religion,
mm-hmm,
I want to know about it. But in order to get there, we need to have a means of fact-checking what we believe and determining whether or not it's reliable.
Right.
And that's what street epistemology is for.
We can all agree that it's better to believe more true things than false things. And this kind of gets to the heart of it. Now, going to what epistemology means, some people may not be familiar with the term.
Oh, my gosh. You told me this yesterday, and you're going to drill it to me again. Let's see. It's the study of spaghetti making, or it's something involving pasta, right?
It's the study of how we acquire knowledge.
What?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Anything
that
ends with ology is a study, and epistemology is I can't think of the root word for epistemology. Mythological stuff, but it's knowledge. It's how we. It's cool. A study of the gaining of knowledge and how we do it.
So are you saying that all I'm doing is interviewing people about how they came to know things, and
yes.
I'm just trying to study how they came to know something?
Uh-huh. You're discussing it in hopes of learning on one side or the other.
Right, and that's a lot different from evangelism or evangelicalism, where I'm trying to teach someone something that's very specific. What we're all doing with street epistemology is just exploring deeply held beliefs and trying to find out if we came there through a reliable means or not. And so on that homework quest, I've been going out for the last 3 weeks now. I like to continue doing because it's really fun. I thought I'd be terrified, but it's actually a really great way not only just to have these really good conversations, but to know kind of the people in my community. And it proved my ability to talk to people in ways that I never thought would be possible, particularly about things that I deeply care about. So here's the current scenario. Last week I was talking about how I went to a Unitarian Universalist church and talked to some of the congregation there. And I also went to like some other places, but I mostly went around Lexington. This time I had basically a small jam session in my apartment, and I had some neighbors come over, and we had a good playing session, and then for the most part, one of my good friends hung out afterwards, and just as casually as we'd be talking about literally anything else, I decided maybe we can talk about, like, some, you know, deeply held beliefs. Can street epistemology be done in a casual manner? Does it necessarily have to always be done, you know, beating the street with a microphone in your hand? Doesn't necessarily have to be the case. And since we have the microphone there from recording for our music, I just decided, hey, would it be cool if we talked about, like, some anything that you, like, value a lot or believe to be true? And he automatically brought up the God concept.
No, didn't.
I thought, that's great. Let's talk about that. And I think that leads us into some clips that we actually have for the show. I actually recorded this and gave Doubter 5 some of the clips of the show, and we were ready to play them. How about we play clip one?
Okay. Now, I have to tell the listener that we've not done this before, and Wombat, we may actually lose you during the play, so you may have to wait
That's
about
fun.
A minute and a half and call
I'm,
back in.
I'm always ready to call back. These are pretty short clips, so let's do it. All you got to do is hit that play button on that messenger after
All right.
the play.
Here we go, clip number one.
Let me get something. Do you have issue of recorded? Issue of recorded again?
If you want.
Yeah.
Shh.
You said you were a agnostic theist.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't know if a God exists, but you would like to believe in one, or do you actively believe in one?
Right? I won't exclude.
You won't exclude the possibility. I'm saying. Sure, there could be totally a possibility, but do you have a...
What I'm saying is I'd probably lean more onto the side of there is a higher power.
So you believe there is one, or do you know there is one?
I believe there could be one.
I believe there could be one, too, but I would need a good reason if I was going to actually, like,
but if you,
believe
but, it but if you wanted me to, like, if you wanted me to... If I was going to tell people where I fell on the, like, the creationist versus evolution, like, spectrum of, like, you start out in the middle, and those are people who, like, I am, like, in the middle.
Sure.
When it comes to religion, I'm probably more, less religious, more spiritual.
Oh, what do you mean by that?
I don't adhere to the ideology. I like to believe that if there is a higher power, a God, it it resides in consciousness, in our consciousness, and then we derive understanding from it through, like, our actions.
Whoa.
I don't want to be like, here's the definition of God that I don't like. I don't like omnipotent, all good, all-knowing, all-powerful kind of being. And
sure.
The reason is logically, those three things coinciding wouldn't have what we have. Like, I don't think an all-knowing being who is all good would let bad things happen.
Yeah.
Because if he had the power to stop them, like, why is he not stopping?
Sure.
You can't be all good, which means doing what is good all the time, and all-knowing, but bad things happen, because that means you're not all-powerful.
Okay.
You literally don't have the power to stop them. Or if bad things do happen, you either don't have the power to stop them, and you know about them, and you're all good, but you just have no power to stop them.
Okay.
Which doesn't make you all-powerful. Or you have the power to stop it, and you are all good, but you just don't know these things are happening.
Sure.
Or you're not good, and you know about them, and you have the power to stop them, but you don't even care because you're not good.
Okay, that was the first clip, and we didn't lose
the
wombat. It played pretty well. Could you hear it on your end?
No, but I already know. I was playing it on my side, so
okay.
I have the timing pretty good.
All right. Do you want to comment on that or just go straight to two?
No. Let's have a conversation about this. So, again, we're just hanging out in my living room. We had just played some music, and now it's just a really casual conversation of
mm-hmm.
where he is religiously. I asked his permission if we can record, and he told me that he was an agnostic theist.
Yeah.
By that, he meant, like, he didn't know that a God existed or not, but he did believe in a God. And when I was asking what he meant by that, because it seems kind of weird that you could not believe that a God exists while simultaneously believing that God exists, or I was wondering what was his rationale behind that.
No.
I got a lot of quotes that you might have heard from other people
mm-hmm.
who talk about their faith in a non-traditional sense, and such as, well, I'm in the middle, I'm less religious, in fact, I'm more spiritual, I don't adhere to any particular ideology, and I guess I just wanted to give him the opportunity to, like, really process what that meant. Like, what did he mean by that, and what was this God belief basically founded on? What do you think about that?
Yeah, and the word that comes to mind in my mind is he was wishy-washy about it. He didn't have any really set ideas about God. It's just like something out there, a being. It didn't have any particular attributes. He was more emphatic about the attributes that it didn't have versus the ones mm-hmm. that it did. But that's a lot of people are like that, especially if you're not really religious but consider yourself spiritual. And I used air quotes for that. I always do. But I can understand that a lot of people these days have that kind of thinking. And this is why these conversations are very important. It helps to gel their thinking on this area, and it could go in one way or the other, but it's nice
exactly.
to think about it. It's a good thing to bring it up and talk about it.
You know, you could take a person like this and bring them to a church and basically kind of feed them an ideology that seems more concrete but is also vague in just the right places
uh-huh.
to satisfy a guy like this and just say, hey, you know what? The pastor has all the big answers. He knows it all. All you have to do is just come every Sunday, believe,
yeah.
and maybe, you know, give us 10% of your paycheck while you've gone down the road or become a member. And then, you know, you get some voting rights in our little council.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meanwhile, you could be spending a lot of time, energy, and money supporting basically something that you don't necessarily completely understand, but churches aren't built on the need for having its congregation understand it, all of its motives. It's there to supplicate the beliefs and basically fears and the needed comfort of its congregation. So, like, people who may not necessarily have a very good idea what they believe,
mm-hmm.
especially if something that's so important as a God belief, you
yeah.
know, like what will happen to them when they die,
yeah.
and like what they should mm-hmm. do with how they should assess morality,
mm-hmm.
these are really good targets. And I think it's good that, you know, even people like these who claim to be in the middle, who don't necessarily adhere to a strict dogma, but should still be aware that, you know, critical thinking could be really useful to them.
Right. I think when I was growing up, I was born in 1950. So imagine Beaver Cleaver and that type of thing. And the mindset of a lot of people back then, especially if you talk to the guys, you know, they'll say, you know, what religion are you? How often do you go to church? What do you believe? Oh, I leave that religious stuff to my wife. She takes care of that. You know, we go to church occasionally, but, you know, she takes care of the religion side of the family. I'll go to work and I come home and bring a paycheck, that type of thing. But I think most people, when it comes to real questions about religion, they leave it up to the preacher. He's got all the answers. And I think they give him a whole lot more credit for answers that he doesn't have. I mean, in other words, they just give him credit for knowing it all, when really he's just towing the dogmatic line of the religion and giving out apologetics when they ask him specific questions. Nobody knows what happens after you die, no matter what they tell you. Nobody knows where the universe came from or what was before the beginning of the universe. Right. It's one thing to claim knowledge. It's another thing to demonstrate knowledge.
Right. Not only that, but you have a lot of parables in a lot of holy books, or at least analogies to things. Things are never said in very specific terms. And what that allows for is interpretations based on what the actual meaning was of the author who wrote that.
Yeah.
And for people who may not necessarily have a very grounded point of view on what they believe, a very vague statement that could sound as if it's true or could be interpreted through something that they prefer to listen to could be very appealing to them. And that's why you have things like horoscopes. That's why you have things like, you know, these speed readers or the fake psychics on TV who will call you and keep you on the line for $30 a minute. And unfortunately, it's a big basis for a lot of kinds of, you know, our big religions that tend to basically soft sell whatever you want to hear without getting too much into the specifics of it. When they say you just got to have faith and love and trust and stuff, these things all sound good, but it's not a concrete game plan towards enhancing love, trust, and, you know, fellowship in an actual community. It's just things that might sound good or could be interpreted the bad way. And wishy-washy people, I don't think he's, I wouldn't necessarily call him wishy-washy. I would say he's exactly where I was once I stopped calling myself a Christian. I think you're in this really vulnerable area where you don't necessarily know if there's ground to stand on once you leave a strict religion.
And you're wondering what you do believe.
Right. And it's a really important point to know there are other options, and at least be aware of how to think critically to assess those options. At the end of the conversation, I'm not trying to make him become an atheist. I'm really just trying to let him analyze what he believes. And I think that's why I follow up in the second clip with more questions about what. So he doesn't like the idea of a classical God. What does he mean when he refers to God? Because I think it's really important to understand what the person you're talking to believes, not necessarily imposing your belief on him. So I ask him afterwards, what does he believe in God, and what does he mean when he says God resides within our consciousness? And you'll notice I do two things. The first thing I do is I repeat back what he says, so that way he can hear what he's saying from a unbiased party to an extent.
Yeah.
Because it's important for people to understand, it sounds nice when I say it, but if I hear someone say the exact same words back to me, it's a different part of my brain that's processing that. And I feel, and they may be like, wait, when you say it that way, even if it's my exact words, maybe I didn't mean it that way. Right. Maybe let me clarify.
And it's important that you let them know that you heard them, that you weren't just blowing them off. You actually understood what they said and wanted to make sure you got it right.
Yeah, absolutely true. That was my second point. And my third point was, I don't get sidetracked. So there's some times where he'll be mentioning facts that I would love to delve into. For example, he starts saying, like, animals don't have critical thinking skills. And I could, like, bring up, you know, some videos that I saw with octopuses coming out of jars or crows sliding down well. But I stay on the topic and I ask him, why is it that the things that you believe, or these reasons that you're giving me for why you think your God exists, go on towards making you convinced that that God exists? Like, I'm not trying to fall into the minutiae of his beliefs. I'm trying to understand what supports the whole thing. And I feel like that's the best way to go about straight epistemology. Try to get to the reason, try to define what their God means, or understand what they mean when they say God, or their deep belief, and understand what the basis of that belief is.
Very good. Should I go on to the second one?
Let's crank up two.
Okay, these are very low volume, so I'm having to raise the gain up as I play them. So if the listeners will... Oh, it's the headphones. Okay. Here we go. We're going to play the second one as soon as I can get it up here. Hit play.
See, I don't like the definition that they give God.
It's pretty bad.
I'm not saying my definition is good. I'm not saying it's the best, but my definition of God being within our consciousness...
Can you talk about that? Because I don't know what they mean by that. I can tell you what my...
Have conscious thought.
I have a conscious thought right now. I'm thinking about a zebra.
In your head, you have an ability of morality.
An ability of morality.
You have an ability to discern different types of morals.
Yes.
There's a lot of scientific evidence to back this claim up that I'm going to make, but a lot of other creatures in the world don't have that ability. And I know, like...
How does this understanding come to your definition of a god?
Our god resides in that consciousness.
God resides in that consciousness as an agent, as a thinking agent, or is he like an emergent property of someone's conscious thought?
He is an emergent property of everyone's conscious thought.
Okay. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
You are the master technician, Datterfy. You're doing it all today.
I'm trying. So go ahead. Let's talk about what he said. God is an emergent property of our conscious thought.
Right. God is an entity that exists in the sea of everyone's conscious thought.
Well, that's what I always thought, that humans created God. I mean, that's what he's saying, isn't it?
Oh, that's one interpretation of it. It's a very secular interpretation of it. But I guess if I was religiously minded, if I had my religious ears on me, I could also say that because everyone has a heart that's capable of thinking and processing morality, then that's what God lives in, and that could just as easily be interpreted as the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, it can go in a lot of different ways. What I wanted to find out was, how is he using the fact that people think about God as confirmation that a God actually exists? You know, because I could think about a pink unicorn on the dark side of the moon, but if everyone else thought about that same thing too, doesn't necessarily mean that one actually exists, or that it's real, or that it's a reliable way of coming to the truth to process information that way.
Right.
I think it's important that I kind of got into the more specific beliefs of his God beliefs, and the more we get into the specifics of it, the easier it becomes to present a rationale that he can interpret, or at least, you know, dissect. And say, well, if I believe God to be this, or if here are the rules for the why my God exists, and I present to him like, okay, well, what if it exists for another religion, or what if we did this, or what if we, you know, turned it upside down and poked at it, and stuff like that. Now we start to have the fun conversation where we're both working towards trying to understand if he came to a reliable way to come to that belief. And again, I'm not coming to it at the angle of me trying to destroy it or like break it apart. I want to know if this is actually true, because if there is an entity that exists as an emergent property of everyone's conscious thought, as a thinking agent, I want to know if that's actually true or not. So I'm working on it with him, and I think that's the point. It's a fun process to go through. I think Street of Cosmology has a lot, because I'm giving him actually a chance that he may not necessarily have before of actually speaking this out and coming to terms with, is this something that I actually believe? Because it's an important thing to me. And if it's something I believe, do I have a reliable reason for why I believe it and why it makes such a big influence in my life?
Yeah. And you have to consider the cost of beliefs too. You know, your tithing, the amount of time you spend on those beliefs, with other congregational members and time at church and your family's commitments and all this stuff. There's quite a bit of cost involved with religious beliefs. And if you're going to hold them, it would be a good idea to find out if they're true or not, or at least how true they could be.
Right. Especially if it's something that changes your entire worldview.
Right.
Like, the way how I see my mom, or the way how I see my sister, family members, the way how I see work, the way how I appreciate women, mm-hmm. or even like the way how I see myself as a human being. Like, literally the entire focal point of my entire life can be predicated based on whether or not I believe in supernatural beings or not.
Sure.
Or, and it's such a crucial component to know if something's true or if something's not true and be able to parse between those two things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Freedom Epistemology is a really good way for giving people the opportunity to exercise a muscle that many people don't necessarily get a chance to, particularly, I guess, in a society where it's really uncomfortable to talk to people about the religious beliefs because we're afraid of getting people offended or defensive, mm-hmm. or scared.
Yeah.
This is just a really nice way of having a good, mm-hmm. productive conversation. Yeah. And I feel like even throughout this talk, we're having a good time. We're still having smiles on our faces, and no one's getting uncomfortable. I feel like, for the most part, everyone's having a really positive time so far.
Right.
What do you think so far?
Oh, I agree. I think it's very important to talk about it and think about these things. You can tell that we've done an awful lot of thinking about it ourselves. I've been an atheist for 47 years now. 45 years. So I've had many, many conversations, read many books on it, and on Christianity and other religions as well. But mainly I've done an awful lot of thinking about it, and I recommend it. We're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to have to take a station identification break. This is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM. We're live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we're going to play a song, have a little bit of a break, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes. Let's see what we got going here. How about Secret of the Stars by Symphony of Science? See you in a minute.
Nice.
Say, do you like mystery stories? Well, we have one for you. The concept? Relativity. That strange, fantastic relationship between time, distance, and math. Before we're finished, I think you'll agree that truth is stranger than the strangest fiction.
Why do the stars shine? Why does the galaxy light up?
E equals mc squared. That is the engine that lights up the stars. Energy turns into mass. E equals mc squared. That is the secret of the stars.
Now listen carefully. The faster you move, the heavier you get. The energy of motion turns into m, your mass.
Energy of motion.
Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared.
Speed of light squared.
An awful lot of energy for a tiny amount of mass.
Light travels at the same speed, no matter how you look at it. No matter how I move relative to you, light travels at the same speed.
No matter who is doing the measurement. No matter what direction you are moving, the speed of light is the same. The speed of light is the same, no matter what direction or how fast.
As you travel faster, time slows down. Everything slows down. Everything slows down.
Time slows down when you move. Time passes at a different rate. Clocks run slow.
It's a monumental shift in how we see the world.
The majesty, the power of the universe into a single equation.
E equals mc squared.
That is the engine that lights up the stars. Energy turns into mass.
E equals mc squared.
That is the secret of the stars.
It's a beautiful piece of science. It's a beautifully elegant theory. It's a beautiful piece of science. It's a beautiful piece of...
A planet like the Earth was kept in orbit because it follows curves in the spatial fabric caused by the sun's presence.
Space and time are bent by stars and planets. As things move through this curved space, they bend.
Now, all of this is illustration of the fact that time and space are linked together.
As you're moving through bent and curved space and time, you feel like you feel a force, feel like you feel a force.
As you're moving through bent and curved space and time, you feel like you feel a force.
That force is gravity.
The beauty, the majesty, the power of the universe into a single equation.
E equals mc squared.
That is
the engine that lights up the stars. Energy turns into mass. E equals mc squared. That is the secret of the stars. That is the secret of the stars. That is the secret of the stars. That is the secret of the stars.
You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
And we're back. Are you there, Wombat?
Wombat Man!
Yay!
Let's go!
Okay, we have a few announcements before we get back into the meat of the matter. First, we'd like to talk about the groups here in Knoxville. There's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded 15 years ago. November is our 15th anniversary, so happy anniversary to us. ASK, the Atheist Society of Knoxville, has almost 800 members now, 772, I think, now. And you can find them online at KnoxvilleAtheist.org, or you can go directly to themeetup.com and look for Knoxville Atheists. It's just that simple. Also, you can join us in person at our weekly meetup, which happens every Tuesday, Tuesday evening at West Hills Flats and Taps at Kingston Pike near Westtown Mall, where we get together for food, drink, and conversation. Everybody's welcome as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Matt Dillahunty. That's usually happy hour time between like 6 and 8, 5:36, something like that. Look for the silver-jacketed copy of The God Delusion standing upright on the table, or just the group of the biggest, happiest, loudest people there. Another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville is the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've been around for over more than 20 years, and RET has biweekly presentations and discussions at the Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. They meet the first and third Sundays at the Goins Administration Building Cafeteria Annex. And if that's too complicated, just go to rationalist.org and click on upcoming events. Or just go there the first and third Sunday mornings and follow the signs once you get on campus. Then there's the Sunday Assembly, which started in England just a couple of years ago and has spread around the world. It's a no-God church for those who have had enough of religion, but still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering. They only meet about once a month, though, on the fourth Sunday, and that's downtown in the International Building near the fairgrounds. And since it's school time again, there's time for the Secular Student Alliance, which has programs in most high schools and colleges to give camaraderie and community to any free-thinking student who would like to be involved in the free-thinking movement, or would just like to find other free-thinkers to hang with. Everybody needs like-minded friends, and atheists are no different. And finally, I'd like to talk about the TV show we mentioned earlier. It's called Free Thought Forum. You can see it every Tuesday between 5 and 6 on Comcast Channel 12 or Charter Channel 192. If you don't have cable, you can watch it streaming online at ctvknox.org. You can also find archives of some of their shows on YouTube, where a fan has been recording and posting them. Just search for three words on YouTube, Free Thought Forum Knoxville. Also, if you're interested in getting involved in the TV or this radio show, just come to an ASK meetup or RET meeting and talk to us about it. You could be our next co-host or guest. And that does it for the announcements. Excuse me. I believe you brought another clip or given me another clip to play. Do you want to talk about it first, or should I just go ahead and play it?
Great. So the topic of the show is atheism, and the cool part about atheism, particularly when you're talking about the atheism that is only based on awareness that it's not possible to come to 100% conclusions on supernatural belief, and that it's good to have good reasons to believe things, and it's good to exercise critical thought. You put yourself in this realm of atheism where you need to have tools communicate to people who disagree with you or may have different kinds of beliefs. And a really good tool to have is epistemology, or understanding of how people come to know things. But it's not just a thing that you can read it in a book and just, you know, give the up on, and which is great. You can definitely learn a lot from reading books. But what we're talking about right now is a conversational technique to talk to people about the beliefs they may have, particularly if they're based on, you know, supernatural foundations, and or ones that are based on absolute confidence on things that may not necessarily be justified with some scrutiny. So how do you talk to people who believe in things that don't necessarily make a lot of rational sense and not hurt their feelings or make them defensive or make them angry with you? And street epistemology is this really wonderful technique that I've been practicing for like maybe the past 3 months or so,
right,
in actuality, mm-hmm, where I'm able to talk to people about deeply held beliefs and come to really productive ends where we have like these really good opportunities where I can learn new things, opening up my mind to any truths that they may tell me, and being an open, a welcoming person to having my interviewee examine a deeply held belief that they may not necessarily have had before. And I think that's just a wonderful opportunity. So the clips that we had gone through in the show were of myself and one of my neighbors who lives, obviously nearby me. And he came over and we did a jam session and with some other guys. When they left, we were just having a casual back and forth playing session. I was on bass. There's some bass in the background of some of these clips.
Uh-huh.
But at the end, I just decided, hey, we have the microphone out. Instead of me going outside and trying to track people down and have a conversation with them, let me see if I can do it with my friends in a casual situation. Because street epistemology doesn't need a soundstage or anything. It can be done anywhere. And so we had this really great talk where he said he was an agnostic theist, that he was in the middle, in fact, that he was less religious and more spiritual. But he did have a concept of a God that dealt with a God that existed within our consciousness. And when I asked him what he meant by that, he talked more about how he didn't believe in the traditional sense of the God and was more inclined to believe in a God that just helped people be more moral, and by having a mindset of being the most moral you possibly can be, that in itself is God. And so I wanted to ask him basically at the end, like, well, couldn't someone just be really moral and not believe in God and still be just as moral? And I will throw out questions like that basically just to see if he's thought out these, you know, rules,
uh-huh,
for his God belief.
Yeah.
You know, like whether has he really given this like considerable critical thought? And wherever it goes, I'm happy for it to go there. If I learn something new, if I learn that this God actually exists, I'll be happy. I'm not trying to force the conversation one way or the other. But I do think it's a good opportunity, mm-hmm, for him to thoroughly examine his belief. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's all the basis of street epistemology is.
And that's what the basis of the Socratic method is. You don't tell people what they should believe. You simply ask them questions about the things that they believe and what they claim. And you just get them to query themselves, really, and delve a little deeper into thinking about it.
Exactly.
Okay, you ready for the clip?
I think that's a great point. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
So individually, there's multiple gods, or like from my, for example, if I'm trying to understand how you're interpreting it, so I'm going to throw an example out.
Mm-hmm.
Like if everyone in the world were to die tomorrow, would there be lesser God as a result?
Would
die to the point where they were no longer capable of having conscious thoughts? Would that reduce
would
that
consciousness
God?
Stop existing?
Yeah, let's just say it wipes out more or less all life on the planet. Would that God then die? Or be reduced to some capacity? Or does he exist independent of conscious thought?
I would say in that point in time, God would be dead.
Okay, that's interesting. So your God is dependent on basically the thought process
unconscious
of people. On people being aware.
But as long as consciousness resides,
mm-hmm,
God still lives.
Okay, so as long as there's one person, let's say there's one survivor, his name's Tim, he lives in the North Pole.
Yeah.
He's on a life raft or something.
Now, what happens is...
Because he's the last person that's alive, there's a God, and he has complete control over it?
Not control. He has He has the only understanding of it.
Okay, that's interesting.
So my God is my consciousness. Your God is your consciousness. It's basically our morals, right?
Yes.
So our consciousness is what our moralities and our thoughts and our actions are.
Why can't it just be called that instead of a God? Why can't it just be our understanding of morals and consequences of our actions and so on? Why do we have to call that a God? Or why is it necessary to call that a God?
Because there's...
Okay, why should we call that God?
See, you're still thinking of God as like...
Or
this powerful thing that created life.
I'm past that. I'm thinking of it more of as it seems like I can call this soda can Terry, but I could just call it a soda can. So why is it necessary that I should call it this can Terry?
So what actions can...
Like, in what way is just calling it moral thought, moral thinking, abstract critical thought, and then calling it God? In what way does calling it God add to the things that those processes can do?
People think of God as like... The problem is people think of God as a person.
Like a character.
As like an individual. Mm. I think that
rather than like a force?
Rather than like gravity.
Okay.
If we thought of God as like more of like gravity or more of like forces, more of like...
If we called God, at least in this case, and let me know if this is a fair definition, optimal morality...
Yes.
Okay.
I'd be perfectly fine with that.
So
God for me.
Yeah.
Is the highest state of consciousness that could be reached that morally would lead to the least amount of bad things happening in the world.
Okay. Could a person who's completely secular say, "I want to be the best person I possibly can be. I'm willing to devote a lot of time into thinking of how I can do that," and they do that? But they don't recognize that that action or even the goal of being in that moral state or that mind state is a God. Is that possible to reach that same level and just not call it a God?
Yeah.
Then is it, if you can reach the same
it's
level
not
and call it a God,
necessary to call it God.
It's not necessary to call it a God.
Like I said, the problem, God is a name.
Yeah, it's a label.
It's not just a label. It's a label that we give a single object.
If someone came in and says, "I'm a theist, I believe in God," and they're thinking of, you know, like a character in a holy book,
mm-hmm.
Are you, and by theist they mean you believe in a claim of a God belief or a
mm-hmm.
God claim.
Yep.
And God claim in the popular context would be this character from a book or this object,
this agent.
This
character, this agent.
Are you also in that, would theist be the right term for you then?
No. I don't think... If that's your definition of theist, as someone who thinks of God as like an agent...
Or believes in a God claim, yeah.
I wouldn't say that that's my understanding of religion, or like understanding of like God.
And that's it. He certainly diverged from what we would call a general understanding or definition of the word God.
Right. It started off a little bit off because... He wasn't believing in the traditional sense, yet he was using the traditional labels.
Right.
And I think that was what the basis of why we were maybe referring to him as wishy-washy in a sense, because he was straddling two sides of the fence, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was basically just wondering, I was asking, why is your foot on this side of the fence, and why is your foot on that side of the fence? I wanted to know. Tell me about this God belief that you have, and maybe also tell me, like, reasons why you believe it to be true, reasons why you believe other things to be true or not true, and he explained why he didn't believe in, like, the, you know, classical idea of God, but he did go to lengths to explain his idea of what a God actually is and why he believes it to be true. And when we talked about it, we ultimately figured out that instead of actually a God being, you know, an emergent property that exists as a thinking agent that is a consequence of everyone's conscious thought and can exist even if there's just one person who has conscious thought, we learned that he's just calling morality God as a label. And as a result, he doesn't necessarily need to call...
Right. Why add the baggage?
That morality thought.
Why add that baggage to the concept we already have? That's like calling the universe God. We already have a word for the universe. Why add all this conscious entity or that has a will of its own to the mix when it's not?
Not only that, demonstrable. It's an easy anchor for people who are religiously minded to use, because if it's not a well-defined concept,
you can hide behind it easier. You can hide it easier.
They can use it to their advantage.
Yeah.
So I was just saying, like, hey, there's this extra, tag on this idea that you have that can be totally reached through secular means as well, yet you call it this very heavy religious thing. Do you have a good reason for that? Is it reliable? And I think through the conversation we realized that it wasn't necessarily necessary, and nor was it necessarily based on any justified rationale to call morality God.
Right.
And when asked again, is theist the most accurate way of describing what you are, and that's the case where, people who believe in God claim, or people who believe that God is like this agent, or God is XYZ or whatever. He said, with the definition of, either believing in God claim, or at least, the definition of an agent or anything like that, that does not qualify him anymore. Or he does not believe that. And we were going on to talk more about, like, what he believed and maybe even labels that would apply to that kind of belief. But I guess we can save that for another time. I think, though, what we learned is, throughout this whole talk, we never had a debate. We never had, like, an argument. And, we were going from him calling himself an agnostic theist to just spiritual to no longer a theist. But it was a positive conversation from the beginning to the very end, and I think we can learn a lot. Atheists can learn a lot from just this approach of just meaningful understanding of what someone's trying to explain as their beliefs, and taking the time to really appreciate what they're saying, hearing them out, and then providing some really good feedback and questions to see if they've really analyzed it, and if they have, what can come about from that. Are they believing the things for good reason? And I think everybody wants to believe things for good reason.
Yeah, we would hope. Believing true things. And if you have good reasons to believe something, then it's generally a good thing to believe it. Faith doesn't do it. You can believe basically anything if you just have faith.
Yeah.
I mean, faith.
Yeah, so that's a really.
Go ahead.
I mean, that's a really interesting thing you just brought up. Because I noticed from all the talks I have had, this one's really interesting because it's not a faith-based position. He was very eager to bring up scientific, principles and other, and this is like a 2-hour conversation we had. This is just like the first maybe 10 minutes of that conversation, because we talked about all sorts of stuff immediately after this.
Uh-huh.
But it was interesting because he is very scientific minded, he is very pragmatic, but it seemed like he just didn't know what, he maybe just lacked some of the tangible tools that come about with critical thought. And it goes to show that, just because you don't believe in like the literal sense of a God, like from a holy book, doesn't mean that you're necessarily equipped with good critical thinking skills to keep you from being able to not maybe fool yourself into something that may not necessarily be true or something that necessarily be rational.
Uh-huh.
But if you're willing to hear him out and talk through it and work through it, I think it's a good thing. And we can learn a lot from that.
Well, yeah. And I hope you do more of it. I might have to have you as a man on the street. Going out, doing interviews, bringing them back, and letting us air them. We don't get very many calls on the show, and that's your fault, audience. But we can use these as calls and talk about it. Talk about different aspects of belief and different viewpoints that people have. I think it would be a good addition to the show.
Yeah, and especially if they have comments on the caller as well, or the techniques that we're using. Like, if you have feedback on how I should approach callers in the or interviews in the future, maybe I'm being too pushy, maybe I'm using the wrong words, maybe I have an agenda that I need to park and really try to to better understand the people I'm talking to, let me know, because I'm trying to get better at this hobby as well. It's something I'd like to continue for a long time.
Yeah. I'd like to try it myself. I have done some street epistemology, in that I would have like an atheist booth down in the old city or on Market Square Mall and invite people to sit down and talk about their beliefs. But I haven't done it very much. I've only done it maybe, I don't know, 6 times in the last 6 years. So I need more practice, and I think it's a good approach. I just don't know if I can just walk up to people on the street and do it. Of course, you met a friend at a party or a gathering and was able to talk about this. So you weren't actually walking up to people on the street either. Do you plan to do that in the future?
Yes, so I've done some walking up on the street. That's always a little bit scary. Also, you don't necessarily get to have the conversation be about religion. A conversation typically starts with asking someone to talk about something that they believe very much or something that they absolutely believe is true. And you can throw out examples such as like karma, God, prayer works, or anything. And they may, based on their comfort level, engage you on those beliefs or bring up something entirely new. And I've had people talk to me about, is North Korea going to bomb us? Or the presidency that we are currently underneath at the moment. Right. Or what sport's the best sport? Or I've had a good conversation, slightly religious related, but it was, is Kanye West a better person than the Pope? And it was just a really interesting conversation. I was like, who's a better person?
Yeah.
Like, here you have the Pope. If you give the Pope $1 million, he goes to the Vatican, locks it up in a vault somewhere, deep underground. But if you give Kanye West $1 million, he's buying gold-plated helicopters, so he's supporting the gold-plated helicopter industry. He's buying shoes. He's going bankrupt in 3 days. All that money's going into the economy. It's not disappearing. So he's, like, hardcore trickle-down guy. He's probably giving away more money for, like, crazy ideas than any other single person has
who's been
representing like a supernatural deity. So like there's some good conversations out there. And I think as long as you have a good vibe, as long as you're willing to like hear out the person, if it was ever going to be like a debate or an angry thing, they would have never started in the first place. I think people who want to talk to you will come to you and talk to you. And if you want to have a conversation with someone for like 5 minutes, and you let them know that ahead of time, they're willing to make that time. It's just a question of finding the right place to speak to and having a good attitude about it. I would say I would like to try this out in new places and eventually get to the point where I'm recording this on video. Like I'd like to really get more involved in this. But if anyone has more information about street epistemology, I'd recommend check out the Street Epistemology Facebook group on Facebook. It's just Street Epistemology, Facebook, Google. You can just Google that, Street Epistemology. That's Epistemology. Like epistemology.
There you go.
Put that in Google, and you'll go straight to Anthony Magnabosco's Facebook page. And there's a lot of other Facebook pages, too, if you're interested and you have an internet connection. What other pages can they check out?
Oh, for Street Epistemology?
For atheism. I know you got a website.
Yeah. Well, digitalfreethought.com, of course, is what sponsors this show or where we come from. It's a blog. It's got an awful lot of articles about atheism and religion in general. I've got, 60 or 70 articles on there now, which I've taken most of them and put into a book called Atheism, What's It All About? You can get that book at Amazon, if you like, just Google it.
Cool. I'd like to also post my all of my interviews onto my YouTube account right now. But right now, I'm just gathering a bunch of raw audio, and as I work on it, I'll continue to share with everyone, including you. We'll continue doing as much as we can, and I think we can make the world a lot better place with the process.
Yep, I think so too. Well, we're getting
right.
Pretty close to the end. And you have any final words?
Yeah, so listen, Kanye West is totally better than the Pope by 10,000%. Look, if Kanye West was managing a bunch of people and he knew one of them had molested a kid or had physically abused some child out there, he would be first of all, he would call him out on Twitter. He would lambast them. He would make sure he's never associated with them whatsoever. And then he would put out like 14 albums trashing that person's name. Instead, if you look at the Pope, he's just hiding the people around. and saying, oh, well, I think it's very bad. Maybe he's doing it in Italian or Argentinian. I don't know. But listen, dude, I am 10,000% on Kanye West any day of the week. Let's go.
Sounds good to me. And it's my turn. Remember, this is the end of the show, and come back next week every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We're here. Everyone is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that souls are real, that they live forever, and that there are places for them to go after you die. Lacking that proof, just live a good life and leave the world a better place for their following generations. And we'll see you next week. Say bye, Wombat.
Bye, Wombat.
And we'll talk to you later. Bye.
You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee.